Opinion.
Welcome to Opinion. I'm Estelle Winters, and joining me in the studio is Avigdor Eskin, Israeli publicist and public figure.
Wow, hello,
I welcome you. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And, you know, summertime in Moscow.
Yes, and you are
summertime.
At last in the studio with us again.
Oh, so great.
This
so
is
great to be
fabulous.
Here.
Well, absolutely. Let us commence, because we've got a lot to discuss. But first of all, I presume that we better discuss what the US President Obama has been saying, especially concerning the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's view concerning Palestinians. And he says that because of his views, it's jeopardizing the Israelis' credibility on the global arena. And so let's have a few comments from you, Avigdor, on this.
It doesn't sound serious for those who Obama wanted to target at his appearance on the Israeli television. I mean, the Israelis. When the Israelis see the world becoming so angry because of another few houses which were built in Jerusalem or in Judea and Samaria, and they cannot understand the world which becomes so angry, while the world, you know, takes it for granted that tens of thousands of people are dying on a regular basis in Syria, that the whole Middle East today became a place where people slaughter each other in, by the way, very, very uncommon ways, that ISIS is becoming stronger, and ISIS is already in Gaza. ISIS is already in Yemen, and there are different, very strange coalitions are formed in the Middle East and participating in different warfares. Now, we're talking about bloodshed on every day, and when Obama comes and concentrates on the issue of building another few houses in Jerusalem or elsewhere, it's not convincing, really, that this is the case of any evil in the Middle East. This American president, of course, is entitled to have his own views, and what he basically conveys to Israel, that Israel will stay alone if continues this way, but there are not so many options for the Prime Minister Netanyahu, because he will not have any public support for anything else. But let's put it on the table, keeping the territories which were conquered, liberated, depends how do you phrase it, in 1967, actually, 68. 67, we're talking about, it's how many years? We're talking about 48 years ago.
Opinion.
On the theme of Obama, I think we should point out here that he seems to be unhappy with the Senate committee bill, which provides this military aid to Ukraine. And if we look at sums, well, it's about $300 million. Avigdor, does it have anything to do with the fact that McCain was actually in charge of this bill, do you think, or any comments about that?
Well, these two characters, McCain and Obama, are as much in favor of each other as Obama and Netanyahu, of whom we just spoke. So this is something which plays a certain role. Obama wants to see that he will not have to spend much more money on Ukraine, because after New York Times articles, after European different articles on the corruption in Ukraine, on the cruelty of Ukrainian army, I mean, it becomes more and more a trend to write about the things which were sometimes hidden before by the Western public. Today, they are more and more discussed, and Obama realizes that the future of American-Ukrainian relations will be much dependent upon the understanding of the Ukrainian side that they will have to live in peace with Russia and with all their own Russian population. That's understanding which is coming to American administration very slowly. But despite this fact, we know that there are heavy fightings now going on. And, well, we are not sure that this is what Obama really wants now. We are not sure that this is not a kind of situation in Georgia, as you remember, when President Saakashvili actually attacked Russian keeping force positions after speaking to Condoleezza Rice, who definitely have told him, don't do anything like that. But he wanted to drag in the Americans, to drag in others, hoping that his kind of this pioneer approach to the whole issue will flourish. No, not necessarily. And we see that these policies of Ukraine today already arouses some skepticism in Washington.
And, by the way, involves Saakashvili himself.
Which is a joke, which is really a joke, because he's wanted in Georgia at home for, well, quite severe crimes.
Oh, the shopping list is quite long,
absolutely right. Opinion.
Let's now turn to your comments. I interviewed a little while ago Dr. Alon Ben-Mayhan. He said that concerning a settlement between the Israelis and Palestinians, it should not start from scratch. It should continue, and it should be in about 4, 5, or 6 phases.
We're talking about talking for 48 years. And the fact is that Israel tried already a certain recipe in Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip today is independent of any Israeli presence. And is anybody happy about it in Gaza? Actually, Israel and Gaza again today in what was exchange of fire. The Arab side fired a few rockets. And nobody knows which exactly group today is taking charge of it, because we're talking about ISIS present there also. And ISIS threatening the Hamas. Hamas killing one Salafi leaders, and then who is against whom? The Palestinian Authority is unhappy with this killing, and they're unhappy with this. So we are entering another stage of mess in Gaza, when nobody knows who is in charge of what. Actually, the fact is that the current ruling Hamas Authority has been weakened recently, and there is a chaotic situation today in many different fields.
But do you agree that settlement talks should not start from scratch, that there have already been some good things that have happened?
There are some excellent things. The fact that we can coexist, if you go to Israel and see Arab houses built, and when you see their villas around Jerusalem, well, you will not find it in Jordan. You will not find it in many other Arab countries. The standards of living of the Arab population are quite high. Otherwise, I mean, we have open borders. They could have left and on the country. They stay and they live in peace with us. And despite everything, we find ways to cooperate. Now, when some people come from outside and see it, they should be very careful in before digging into this situation. We saw in Syria when some other people started digging, it caused to the whole breaking of the framework of the country. And today 75% is under certain control of either ISIS or so-called opposition. And ISIS holds 50% of Syrian territory. This what is the outcome of foreign involvement in Syria.
And we can see this in many places throughout the world at the moment. Opinion. Just a reminder, you're tuned to Opinion, and in the studio, as usual, is Avigdor Eskin, Israeli publicist and public figure. I'd like to now go on to some remarks in New York Times, which compares ISIS state with the revolutionary Bolshevik state. This has been written by a very respected person, Dusat Ross. Is the gap of understanding between the East and the West, in your opinion, so unbridgeable at the moment?
Absolutely, because people are talking only about surface. Now, take any European country, France, Great Britain, well, Netherlands, they had their own revolutions. So should we go and say exactly that they had a revolution, ISIS as a revolution, and then compare the situation? I mean, they have ideology, so let's compare. Compare what? You have to compare the essence, and there's no doubt with all, even crimes, mistakes, you name them, of the Bolsheviks. Well, they're very different from Islamic revolutionary ideology basis. I mean, it's something else. It's something entirely else. Because you need different population, you need different mindset, you need different tradition. And to compare it, it means a guy lives somewhere on the moon. Because again, if you take a revolution as such, you have American Revolution, French Revolution, Europe, likes the revolution. It's a part of Western culture. And today we're having what we call revolution, but for them it's not revolution. For them it's liberation of the world, of the people like this columnist in New York Times.
Let's go over to another subject now, and it's the Ukrainian city of Rovno and their public committee, who are opposing the monument for the Holocaust survivors, on which Ukrainian collaborators mentioned alongside with Germans. I mean, this is surely anti-Semitism in Ukraine today, is it not?
When there is an opposition to something like this, we can call it anti-Semitism, but I want to use much stronger language without using it.
Yes, please be careful. This is a family show.
Absolutely, absolutely. There are children listening. Because what I mean is that we don't have to talk about anti-Semitism or any anti-Russian feelings when the situation is such that the president of Ukraine today, the prime minister, the state Rada, declare the worst criminals of the Second World War as their heroes. And I've said everything by that. If they recognize Bandera and Shukhevich to be their heroes, if their heroes are Nachtigal and other war criminals, and this is their official line, so what else is needed to be said? Question mark. And I will not say anything.
Yeah, well, we will leave that as a question mark, because I'd really like to spend some time going on to one more subject now, which is the announcement that the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is expected to visit Israel. He will be becoming the first ruler of India to do so. And, well, we have to remind everyone that diplomatic relations between the two countries were established back in 1992 with New Delhi and Jerusalem engaging in economic, military and strategic cooperation. And we have to point out another thing. India is the largest buyer of Israeli military equipment. Well, a little bit more background. I think it was back in the year 2013. Trade between the two countries stood at, let me try and get this right, I think it was well over 4 billion. It could have been even more than 4 billion US dollars. And that was not including military equipment, by the way. So, yes, this is a very interesting development, isn't it? I have to look back. When was it and who was it? Which of the Israeli prime ministers became the first leader to go to India? I think it was back in 2003. So, wait a minute. Sharon, it would have been.
Ariel Sharon was very active.
Yes, very active.
Very active. And strategically, he had this understanding that India should be a strategic partner of Israel. And he has done a lot to advance it. Now, India is a very friendly country to Israel. And, you know, the prime minister is more than welcome because sky is the limit. Sky is the limit. There were certain arms deals which were harmed by the United States, that the United States asked Israel not to enter with India because of certain competition reasons. But Israel found other ways to circumvent American vetoing, and the relations are developing very fast and very favorable for both sides. Israel is very important for China and for India, and of course China and India, these are great markets for Israel. And
of course we have this triangle when it comes to Russia, India and China.
And we are also full of hope that the relations with Russia will keep improving, and this is probably, we'll discuss something next time.
Well, of course, when we look at military equipment, we also have to look at the good relationship between India and Russia.
Absolutely.
Especially when it comes to aircraft.
Absolutely, and some joint ventures are more than possible.
Is this visit, though, of the Indian Prime Minister timely, though, do you think?
The time has come to make it more official, but all the offices are working very hard between Israel and India. It's not a secret for anybody that our two countries...
You're not surprised that he will visit Israel?
No, no, the most friendly relations possible. India is our ally, and the only obstacle, again, is a certain dissatisfaction coming from Washington. But we shall overcome.
Well, on that note, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very, very much.
As usual, in the studio with us for opinion was Israeli publicist and public figure Avigdor Eskin. Until next time.
opinion.